Today's shir is Masechta Erev and Daf Pei Vav, and we will begin on Daf Pei Hei Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda Omer Im Yesh Sham Tfisas Yad. The Mishnah taught us that, as we have learned so many times, Baruch Hashem, if somebody, different people who live in the same chatzur, in order to be able to carry within that chatzur, need to make an Eruvei Chatzeris. Every apartment has to make its own Eruvei Chatzeris. In our previous year, we identified what is considered a base dira that has to contribute to the Eruv, what is considered a base dira where you could place the Eruv, but certainly everybody has to participate in the, everybody has to independently participate in the Eruv. But our Mishnah taught us a new rule, that if somebody owns an apartment in that chatzar, where he doesn't live, but he has tfisas yad, he has the right to put objects in that apart, in that house, that means that he, and he already is contributing to the area because of the apartment in which he lives, that apartment doesn't have to independently contribute to the area. And our Gemara, now, Mitzvah Shem, is going to analyze this halach of tfisas yad. Says the Gemara, Hechidam et Tfisas Yad. Exactly what is considered Tfisas Yad? Says the Gemara, Kigoyin Chatzeres Shel Ben Bunyas. There was an individual called Ben Bunyas who was a very wealthy person, and he used to lend or rent apartments that he owned, and he had different kalim that he owned that he left in those apartments, and because he left those kalim in those apartments, that's called that he had tfisas yad. Clearly, says the Mordechai, that the only time we could apply the halacha of tfisas yad is if I own the apartment and I rent it, but left myself the ability to put things into that apartment. But let's say we have two people, and I own an apartment and somebody else just and I have the right to leave something in somebody else's apartment, which I don't own, and I'm not in that chatzar, that wouldn't give me this, that wouldn't give the this apartment an exemption from independently participating in the Erev. Says about Ben Benyus was a Talmud of Rebbe. Osla Kameh the Rebbe, he came to visit Rebbe, and he said, Amalu, so Rebbe said to the people, the Panu Mokum, make room for this individual who has 100 mana. He's a wealthy person. Now another person came, Amalhu, and Rebbe said to them, Panamokim Lubem Masai mana. Make room for this individual who's even wealthier. He has Masai mana. Amal fun of Rebbe Shmob Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe, Aviv Shalzeh, Ben Bunyas' father, Bunyas, Yeshle Elif Sfinis Biyam, owns 1,000 boats in the sea. And he owns 1,000 cities on dry land, and he's extremely wealthy. Amalai, so Rebbe told him, when you get to his father, make sure to send him a nicer clothing. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that Ben Bunyas came to Rebbe not wearing expensive clothing. And typically, wealthy people wear expensive clothing. And here, he didn't wear those clothing, and that's why Rebbe wasn't able to recognize that he was such a wealthy person. As I sort of Meiri explains, a person should not hold back from spending money on buying nice clothing, because clothing make demand. And clothing indicate who you are in a place like Al Gemara is discussing, where otherwise nobody knows who you are. Furthermore, he says that you may make an argument that why should a person spend money on nice clothing? Is that what the way we're supposed to live? So he says that the pasuk says, "B'chol eis yir begodecha levanim," that a person's clothing should always be clean. And a person's clothing should be fitting his stature. And that's why it's appropriate that a wealthy person should have nice clothing. I says the Yavetz, why wouldn't Ben Bunyus be concerned that people are going to be jealous of him when he wears such beautiful clothing? So the Yavetz says that we're not talking that he's wearing clothing amongst people who don't have money. Rebbe said he should be wearing nice clothing when he meets me. And Rebbe, as we know, was a very wealthy individual. So that won't cause Rebbe in any way to have bad feelings. All that it will accomplish is that Rebbe will know with whom he is dealing. And says the Gemara, indeed, Rebbe Mechaber Shirim. Rebbe would show great respect to wealthy people. Rebbe Kiva Mechaber Shirim. And so too would Rebbe Kiva do. Kedarish Rav Ben Mari. And Rav Ben Mari says that this type of behavior is understood from a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk in Tehillim says, Yeshiv Olam Lufnei Elokim, Chesed Ve'emes Man Yetzrua. Amos Ayoshiv Olam Lufnei Elokim, when does the world have a kiyum? When does the world have an existence? Bizman, Shechesed Ve'emes Man, people who have money do chesed, give tzedakah, Yetzrua, they protect the world. So, many Mefarshim explain, so that Rebbe himself was a wealthy person. But Rebbe did not want that people should show him respect. The Maril says this pshat. He didn't want that people should show him respect because he's a wealthy person. He wanted that people should show him respect because of his Torah. So he wanted that people should start showing respect to wealthy people. And by showing respect to wealthy people, they'll show respect to him for his wealth and that for his and not for his Torah. Rebbe Mechaber Shirim, the Meiri explains, Rebbe understood that what it means to be a wealthy person, because Rebbe was a wealthy person. And Rebbe, by understanding who was a wealthy person, and sees that if a person is wealthy and he still acts the way he's supposed to act, that's the person that deserves respect. But then there's another pshat that the Chidah suggests. The Chidah suggests that everything that happens in this world happens because Hashem makes it happen and because Hashem wants it to happen. Nobody becomes wealthy unless Hashem wanted this person to be wealthy. So says the Chidah, the reason Rebbe Mechaber Shirim is because Rebbe knew that how did this person get wealthy? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to get wealthy. And therefore, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks about this person, that's why he deserves the respect that Rebbe was given. The Mefarshim, many Mefarshim asked the question, the Yunyakov and many other Mefarshim asked, why does the Gemara mention Rebbe before Rebbe Kiva? Rebbe Kiva lived before Rebbe, so shouldn't the Gemara mention Rebbe Kiva first? So I saw that many Mefarshim suggest that even though Rebbe Kiva was also obviously wealthy, and that's why the Gemara says Rebbe Kiva Mechaber Shirim, Rebbe Kiva's history was different than the history of Rebbe. Rebbe was wealthy from the day he was born. Rebbe was the Nasi with a Gevaldige Yichus. Rebbe Kiva wasn't wealthy from the day he was born. Rebbe Kiva wasn't the Nasi. Rebbe Kiva was actually, as we know, about Tshuva. And therefore, the Gemara mentions Rebbe's wealth before he mentions Rebbe Kiva's wealth, even though Rebbe lived earlier. Even though Rebbe Kiva lived earlier. I also saw that the Mefarshim explained that when the Gemara says Rebbe Mechaber Shirim, explains the Michas Elazar, strictly, who are we speaking about? We're speaking about Rebbeinu HaKadosh, that the Gemara Masechta Ksuba says that Rebbe, even though he was so wealthy and he had such tremendous wealth available to him, his whole life, says the Gemara, Rebbe, as he was leaving the world, made an announcement. He lifted his 10 fingers and said, I didn't have any pleasure from this world. So, strictly, somebody like Rebbe, who knew that money is nothing, and somebody like that doesn't get impressed by wealthy people. And therefore, somebody like Rebbe is Mechaber Shirim, it will not affect him in any way. And therefore, since it would not affect him in any way, that's why the Gemara says the Rebbe was able to be Mechaber Shirim. Anybody else, could not do so, because anybody else, once they start giving this honor to Hashirim, may be adversely affected. Another pshat that I saw from Meir Shapiro, a beautiful pshat, when the Gemara says, Rebbe Mechaber Hashirim, the Gemara says, in Masechta Nedarim, His haru b'bnei aniyim shemehem teitz Torah. Be careful in showing proper respect to poor people, to the children of poor people, because that's where Talmid Chacham emanate from. Rebbe taught us that even wealthier people could be Talmid Chachamim. Rebbe brought Talmid Chachamim to Hashirim. Rebbe showed that you could even be wealthy and still be an usher. Another pshat that I saw, that Reb Baruch Shimon Schneerson, the Chabina Rosh Yeshiva, suggests, anybody else who's mechaber Hashirim, we would think that the reason they're showing this cover to Hashirim is because they want to have something from these wealthy people. They want them to give them money. But Rebbe, we don't have to worry about that. Rebbe had plenty of money of his own. Still, Rebbe and Reb Akiva could be mechaber Hashirim and they have nothing to worry about. Another pshat that I saw, a beautiful story. There was once a person who didn't have any money, and when he would come to visit Rabbanim or Yeshivas, they didn't pay attention to him until he, Baruch Hashem, got wealthy. Now when he got wealthy, all of a sudden everybody was showing him great respect of honor. So he once asked the question, "Why is this proper, that just because I have a few dollars, I get all this covered, and until now nobody paid attention to me?" So they explained to him, of course we're not giving you covered because of the money you have. Money is not a reason to give a person covered. But rather, what money brings is that a person that has money could do all sorts of mitzvahs with that money. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim means that Rebbe was Mechabed, as the Gemara says, that they were able to do tzedakah and chesed with their money. And since they could do chesed with their money, that's why they deserve covered for the mitzvahs that they could do with their money. So we go back to this halacha of Tfisas Bayis. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Babachana Amar, Kigon Yeshe Shemachrisha. If I have the right, if the landlord has a right to leave his shovel in the tenant's house, that means he still has ownership there. I'm Rav Nachman, Tana de Bei Shmuel, Dova Nittel B'Shabbos. If the object that's being left there is something that could be moved in Shabbos, Oyser. Because what's the whole point? The point is that by the landlord having something in the tenant's apartment, that still gives him that he has something here. But if what he has in that apartment is something that can be removed on Shabbos, so it doesn't mean that he has anything real there in the apartment. And there's a very big machloikus rishonim. How do we identify what is considered a davar nitl b'Shabbos? Because we know, as we learned in Masechta Shabbos, a kli shemalachta l'heter, a silverware, for example, is certainly something which is not muksa. But what about a kli shemalachta l'isser? So as we learned many times when we learned Masechta Shabbos, the halach is that a kli shemalachta l'isser could only be moved l'tzarech gufa mekaymai. So it's not something that could always be moved, but it's not something that can't be moved either. So it's a very, very big machlokes rishonim. How do we treat a kli shemalachta l'isser? Do we treat a kli shemalachta l'isser as something which is movable, or do we treat it as something which is not, or do we treat it as something which is not movable, because it's only able to be moved under very limited circumstances? The Shulchan Aruch actually paskins that something which is the kli shemalachta l'isser is considered something which is movable in Shabbos. Dovah she'einu nitl b'Shabbos, but if what you have there is something that can't be moved in Shabbos, so since it can't be moved in Shabbos, ain't a oyser, then even though the person who lives in that apartment did not participate in the Aruva Chatzeris, it doesn't make a difference. Because I, the landlord, have something there. And Tanya Nami Hachi, Yesh Loi Tevel, if we have fruit from which the Trumas and Maisers weren't removed, Yeshli Ashoshis, if he has a piece of metal, again, which is muksa, called Davashayin Hintel Shabbos, or I have in that apartment anything that is not movable on Shabbos, Eina Oyser, then the fact that the person who lives there didn't participate in the Erev doesn't make a difference. There's a very interesting machloikas hapoiskim between the Mishnah Berura, between the Moshe Zitzal and the Chazon Ish. He says, to apply this halacha, says Rav Moshe, what happens if you have a landlord who owns an apartment in the house and the people who are in those apartments do not participate in the Erev? But we know, as is most typical, that the landlord has in the apartments that he rents out a refrigerator, an oven, so, and these are obviously items that can't be moved on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe says, now we could apply the halacha of Tfisas Yad, because the landlord has something in every apartment. The Chazon Ish, however, says that the halacha of Tfisas Yad is applicable only in situation where the owner retains the right to store his personal items in the tenant's apartment. However, if the items that are in the tenant's apartment are not there for the landlord's use, they're there for the tenant's use, that's not called Tfisas Yad. So the landlord who has the refrigerator there, it's not for his own use, even though the refrigerator does belong to him, and therefore the halacha will be that it's not considered, according to the Chazon Ish, a situation of Tfisas Yad. Our Mishnah continues to discuss where somebody owns an apartment in Chatzar, and as we've been discussing in our shiurim, everybody who has an apartment in the Chatzar must contribute to the Eruv HaChatzeris, that it should be considered a valid Eruv HaChatzeris. And now the discussion that we begin to discuss is, what happens if you're not there for Shabbos? And of course, the halacha is not only going to be if one of the Jewish members of this Chatzar are not there for Shabbos. The same discussion will be, as we've been learning, that if an Ochri lives in that Chatzar, we have to lease his property, we have to take that into consideration. So what's going to be the halacha if somebody's not there for Shabbos? How does the halacha look at that situation? So says the Mishnah, Menich Beisoy, if somebody left his home on Erev Shabbos, V'holach Lishbos B'ir Acheres, and he went for Shabbos to a different city, Echad Nochri V'echad Yisrael, whether it's a Jew or a Yisrael, a non-Jew or a Jew, Hareza Oysa Devar Emeya. According to Emeya, you're not being there on Shabbos is not a factor. So the easiest way of understanding Remeir is because he's going to hold that Dira B'loi Balim, even if the owners aren't there, Shma Dira. But most Rishonim actually don't want to take that opinion, because it's hard to say that anybody, even Remeir, will hold that if somebody's not there, it's still considered his Mokum Dira. So by a Nochri, it's very easy to understand, because since by a Nochri there's always a concern that is going to show up on Shabbos, that's why Chazal were machmer. And the same is by a Jew. We're not sure when the Jew is going to show up. And that's why Ramei takes the strict opinion. Rabbi Yudayma ain't a Isur. Rashi explains that this person left before Shabbos, and we have no reason to believe that he's going to come on Shabbos, and therefore, if the Erev was made without him, even if he shows up on Shabbos, there is no problem. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nochri Oyser. By Nochri, we have to be concerned that he's going to show up on Shabbos. Yisrael and Oyser. Shein derech Yisrael, love of Shabbos. A Jew doesn't show up on Shabbos. A Nochri, however, can arrive on Shabbos. Shein derech Yisrael, love of Shabbos. Shimon Amar fila nich beis of Elok Lishbos Eitzabita Beitzir. Shimon's talking about the Jew, and the Jew left his home to go to his daughter, who lives in the same city, so he could easily return to his apartment on Shabbos. Eina Yisur. It's still not a problem. Shekvar Sir Liboy. He decided not to be home for Shabbos, and since he decided not to be home for Shabbos, we have no concern. So Rabbeinu Yonason says, Rav Shimon, who takes this lenient approach, is only talking about Yisrael. If Yisrael decided to go away for Shabbos, we need not be concerned that he's going to show up on Shabbos. But by Nochri, even if it was the Nochri's intention not to come back on Shabbos, Says Rabbeinu Yonis in explaining Rav Shimon's opinion, we need to be concerned that the Nachri is going to come back because Nachrim travel on Shabbos. And since Nachrim travel on Shabbos, we need to be concerned that the Nachri is coming home. However, the Meiri says that no, that Rav Shimon, who takes this lenient opinion that somebody goes away for Shabbos, we don't have to worry that he's going to come back on Shabbos, applies only by Yisrael and not by a Nachri. Both by Yisrael and both by a Nachri. However, the Meiri paskins that we have to be machr by a Nachri. That a Nachri that left for Shabbos and shows up, we have a real situation. What happens if the Yisrael does show up on Shabbos? So the Rashba says that if the Yisrael shows up on Shabbos, we have a problem because now he's here. Other Rishonim disagree. And they say that if the Yisrael shows up in Shabbos, we apply that kivan shotra hotra. So what's the machlokes? So I saw a beautiful explanation of the machlokes. On one hand, we could say kivan shotra hotra. On the other hand, we maybe should be concerned that if the Yisrael shows up in the middle of Shabbos, that is clearly an indication that that Yisrael never meant to be away for the whole Shabbos. When do I say Kivan Shotra Hotra? When indeed was 100% mutter. But what would be if the Yisrael expressly said that he's coming home on the middle of Shabbos? So then everybody would agree that this has to be dealt with. So they say that even if the Yisrael didn't say it, but the fact that he shows up during Shabbos is clearly an indication that he meant to come back on Shabbos, and we can't apply the concept of Hoyva Hotra Hotra. Says the Gemara Amar Rav, Halacha Reb Shimon. The Halacha is indeed like Reb Shimon, that even if a Jew left, even to go to visit his daughter who lives close by, the Erev is fine. But, says the Gemara, Dafka Bitoy, only if he meant to visit his daughter, Al B'noi Loi, but not if he went to his son. Damrin Shi, as people say, Gavar Bar Kalba, if a male dog barks at you, oh, you could go in, you have nothing to worry about. Gavar Bar Guryosei, but if a female dog yells at you, pike. So the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara, people typically get along with their own children. So if somebody goes to his daughter's house, we don't have to worry that there's going to be any problem between the daughter-in-law and the father-in-law. But if he goes, and the son-in-law, he'll get along with. But if he goes to his son's house, if he doesn't get along with his daughter-in-law, he's not going to remain there and show up on Shabbos and disqualify this chatzar if there wasn't an Erev made in that chatzar. There's a very interesting discussion. The halacha is that a mother-in-law could say Eidus, that her son died. Normally, if somebody disappears, the halacha is that you can't rely on a mother-in-law because a mother-in-law hates her daughter-in-law and may be looking to harm her. The question is, what's the halacha by a father-in-law? Does a father-in-law have, do we have the same concern by a father-in-law? Is that only by a mother-in-law? So the Shal Shiavit says that this halacha applies to father-in-law and mother-in-law the same. Other Paiskim say that we see here that a father-in-law, because, and they use this Gemara as a raya. You see that a father-in-law doesn't necessarily get along with his daughter-in-law. Others say that these are two separate subjects and we can't bring a raya from one to the other. Continues the Gemara. As we learned, that the halacha is that if a keli was in a chatzar, you can move it from one chatzar to another before Shabbos. You could take it from one chatzar to another chatzar, even if there was no erev made between the chatzeres. But any kelim that were in the apartments, in the houses, you can't carry from one chatzar to another chatzar unless an erev was made. Our Mishnah Dao begins to discuss where you have a bor between two chatzeres, you have a pit between two chatzeres, and the question is, can you take water out of that pit from the pit and bring it to your home on Shabbos? So So says the Mishnah, Bar Shabbat Shtei Chatzeres. If you have a pit between two Chatzeres, Eim Malam Mena B'Shabbos, you can't draw water from the pit because the pit is an area that belongs to both Chatzeres, and you can't carry something from the Chatzeres to the houses unless you had a Ruvi Chatzeres. Elm Kane, the only way you could carry to the respective houses, and also Elm Kane also loy Mechitza Gvaya Saratvachim. If a mechitza was made to divide this pit into two, we're going to discuss the mechitza in a moment, that separates the mechitza into two, and since it separates the mechitza into two, the water that's on my side, I could take to my home, and the water that's on your side, you could take to your side. And says the Mishnah, when we speak about this mechitza, we can make it mail milmata, you can make it on the bottom in the bar, beimetaych oignoi, you can make it within the walls of the bar. Says that's posh pshat in the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, that this definition of what is considered a good mechitza to separate the bar and the two is actually machlokes b'shamay oimrim milmata, that the bar has to be made milmata, or b'shil oimrim that the mechitza can be made af milmala, even on top. We'll see in a moment what that means. A question that we're going to have to deal with as we get into the Gemara. As usual, we look at Beishamai Beisila when we see such a machlokes. Beishamai is the machmer. And Beishamai, in our Mishnah, for example, is saying that if we want to rely on a mechitza in the bar, the mechitza has to be strictly milmata. What happens if you make the mechitza, and Beisila holds that you can make it lamala as well? That's the pashut way of learning the Mishnah. So according to that, let's say somebody's going to want to be machmer, even though the halacha is like Beis Hillel, and they're going to make the mechitza milmata, fantastic. But there are rishonim that say no. In this case, the machlokes is different than usual. Beis Shammai says that the mechitza has to be milmata, strictly milmata, and Beis Hillel holds that the mechitza has to be milmala, and milmata is not an option. Amar Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda makes a comment, the mechitza, the wall separating the chatzeres, which goes over the bar, is enough to divide the bar, even though it doesn't go into the bar itself. And the Gemara says, so the Gemara begins, the Mishnah used the word lamata lamala. So now what does lamata lamala mean? So it's a machlok of Huna of Yehuda, how to understand what lamata lamala mean. Amar of Huna, when it says in the Mishnah, lamata, it means that the mechitza has to be put near the surface of the water, but it doesn't even have to touch the water. And lamala means lamala mamish, at the top of the bar. Bar. But both agree that the mechitza has to be within the cavity of the bar. The only machlokes is where in the cavity. According to Funa, Beishami says lower down, next to the water. And Beis Hillel says it could be all the way up, but it has to be completely within the walls of the bar. Rav Yehuda has a different interpretation of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Rav Yehuda Amar, lamata means lamata min amayim. The petition has to be on the wall of the bar. Lamala, and that's going to be Beis Shammai's opinion. And lamala means lamala min amayim, above the water. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rabbi Bar Rav Chana Labaya, Hadam Rav Yehuda. Well, we just quoted Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that in the according to Beis Shammai, lamata means lamata min amayim, that you make the bar all the way at the bottom. Ma'ishna lamata mamish deloy. Why isn't it enough to make it higher up? Darive mayim. Because if you're going to not make it all the way on the bottom, the water on the bottom, then the water below the mechitza is going to be mixed up. And since it's going to be mixed up, you don't have a valid mechitza. So ask the Gemara, Sulamata minamayim, even if you put it all the way on the bottom, and as we know, the height of this mechitza has to be 10 tefachim. So if the water goes above 10 tefachim, what have I accomplished? The water above the mechitza is harive mayim, is going to get mixed up. Harive maya. Amalei. So Abaye answered him, Lashmila Chodam Rav Yehuda Merav, They had the mechitza, according to Beis Shammai, according to Yehuda, has to be all the way on the bottom, but it has to go all the way up that you have at least a tefach of above the water. So in other words, the entire water is completely separated into two. And therefore, since the tire is separated, then there's no issue of rivi mayim. There's a machloikus rishonim. What does that mean? Does it mean that you have to have an extra tefach above the water? Or does it mean you have to have a tefach until the water? And then there's another machloikus rishonim. When we're saying that it has to be until the top of the water, or maybe even above the water, could the tenth tefach serve that purpose? Or does it have to be a tefach above the tenth fachim that is above the water or reaching the water? Vesu, ask the Gemara another question on Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation. Hadar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said that according to Beis Hillel, when it said l'mala, malam and amayim, that it has to be on top of the water surface, but it can't be on the top of the bar. It has to be on top of the water. So ask, why can't it be all the way up? Because if you have it all the way up, you're going to have water below it, that are even mind that the water is mixed together, and you don't have the proper separation between the two sides of the water. So ask the Gemara, so what have I helped by making it on top of the water surface? If I put it on top of the surface of the water, but you have all the water below it, or even where the water is mixed up. Says you didn't hear what Yaakov Chanoi says, that tzarch sheshkia rosh kanim mayim betefach, that you actually have to put it somewhat in the water. And why don't you have to put it all the way in the water? Because once you put it somewhat in the water, according to Beis Hillel, even according to Yehuda, that is considered enough of a separation. Says the Gemara. Vel hadam Rav Yehuda. But Rav Yehuda said another halacha. Halacha that we've discussed many times. When you have a building that's dilapidated and the walls don't reach the floor, kaira adba, if you have a kaira which is 4 tefachim wide, materas b'chuba, that the area under the kaira is considered like a wall. Because, as we said, even though it's a mechitza taluya, even though it's a mechitza that doesn't come down all to the bottom of the floor, we say, pi tikra yair v'saisim, that the halacha views as if there's a wall coming down. Rav Nachman Amar Rabavua, kaira bar mataras v'mayim. The same would be if you have a pit of water and you have a kaira above that pit, it separates the two sides of the pit into two. Ask the Gemara, ha-ka'ezo deli li'idach gisa. Ask the Gemara, why would this be effective by a pit of water? Just because I have a beam on the top of the pit, but when I throw, if I'm living on the right side of this pit, and I throw my pail into the right side of the pit, there's nothing that prevents the pit, that nothing prevents the pail to go to the other side of the pit. And since the pail goes to the other side of the pit, I'm taking it from the side that I may not take water from. Answers the Gemara. Kimelul Rabbanan. Chazal were not concerned that the pail will travel out of its own area. Ask the Gemara, Tachas Kair Miyai Riva Mayim. So yes, you've answered that we need not be concerned that the pail will travel into the other person's domain. But the bottom line is, as we have been discussing, the water we always have a concern of a Riva Mayim. So why over here don't we have a concern of a Riva Maya? That the water is mixed together. The water from the right side and the water from the left side. Says the Gemara, the Gemara takes on a new consideration. And that is that indeed, normally this would not be acceptable. But when it comes to water, Chazal, and that's a very big part of the halachas that we're going to be learning in our shiurim now, as we discussed them in our previous shiurim, and we're going to discuss again, that even just building a frame from which you could take the water out of the water, which is a karmelis, into your Rishus HaYachid, which is certainly not a valid mechitza, it's no more than a mechitza teluya, is sufficient. Here too, even though this is a very weak mechitza, and as the Gemara keeps on repeating, we have the concern of a Riva Maya, says the Gemara, we don't need to be concerned from it. for it, because Chazal were lenient when it comes to water. And we always explain, because Chazal, the Shema Tzion Valach, tells us, because Chazal knew how water was so necessary for their survival, we give certain leniencies by water. Kibayim Menei Rav Tavel Merav, Mechaitzim Talui Mash Tata B'Churva, if you have a mechitza that doesn't go all the way down, is it considered a valid mechitza? Amalei, a mechitza the only place the Chazal allowed this type of mechitza is by mayim, because kalu shekilu chama mayim, it's a special skula. And as we learned previously, in daf yudalid, and daf tez vzayin, the Gemara taught us that if you have a mechitza through which, under which animals could creep, so that's called gedim boikimbar. And if you have a mechitza under which the animals could go, that disqualifies the validity of that mechitza. But if you have a mechitza through which, under which the fish could swim, which the Gemara called bekias dogim loishma bekia, and they're not of concern to us. As so the Gemara said, Rabbi Yehuda said, Amar Rabbi Yehuda loita mechitza. That Rabbi Yehuda said that the mechitza should be no worse than the wall that's between them, and you don't have to make another mechitza. If there's a wall between this, it's good enough. Amr Rabbi Babachan Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Yehuda b'shitas Rabbi Yosi Amr. Rabbi Yehuda said in the opinion of Rabbi Yosi, Dama, that was of the opinion, mechitza teluyu materes afil b'yibosho. He, unlike what we just explained, says that anytime you have a wall, even if it's a mechitza teluyu, it's fine. The Tanan, Hamashas defanas, the Mishnah there is talking about a sukkah. It's a Mishnah Masech, the sukkah, the tazayinom and aleph. And somebody's making walls of a sukkah, and he's rolling down the walls, mamal malmata, from the top to the bottom. Bezman shekvayim in aretz gimel tefachim psula. If there's a space of gimel tefachim under your wall, then that's not considered a kosher wall to make your sukkah kosher. Mamata malmala, but let's say you're rolling it up. Im gvayis yot tefachim, as long as you've rolled up an area of 10 tefachim, but you have a big space in between, it's kshera. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Shem Shemata Mamala Sara, just when we're going from the bottom up, as long as you have 10 tefachim, it's good enough. Kach Mamala Mamata, when you're rolling from the top down, as long as you have 10 tefachim, even though it doesn't reach the ground, it's fine. It says, so we see that Rabbi Yosi held that a mechitza teluya is acceptable even by land. We're talking about a sukkah. Says Gemara V'loihi, that is incorrect. Lawyer Rabbi Yehuda Sovelak Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't necessarily agree with Rabbi Yosi. The lawyer Rabbi Yosi Sovelak Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yosi doesn't necessarily agree with Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara explains itself. Rabbi Yehuda Lawyer Sovelak Rabbi Yosi. At Kalan Kam Rabbi Yehuda, where did Rabbi Yehuda say the Mechitza Taluya is fine? El Baruv Chetzeris. As we've explained numerous times, the entire need to make a Ruv Chetzeris is only Gzeir Rabbanim. Because when do we create a Ruvich Etzeris? We create a Ruvich Etzeris when we're carrying from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah, which with the Raisa is 100% permitted. Chazal didn't want us to carry from my Rosh Hashanah to your Rosh Hashanah. Chazal did not want us to carry from a more private Rosh Hashanah to a more public Rosh Hashanah. But these are all just Gzeir D'Rabbanan. So because we're only dealing with that type of a question, Chazal, Rabbi Yehuda says that even a mechitza teluya is going to be satisfactory. Ava sukkah deraisa, when we want to build a sukkah and we want the sukkah should be a kosher sukkah with deraisa, we cannot rely on a mechitza teluya. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosi is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi doesn't necessarily agree with Rabbi Yehuda. For atkan l'kam Rabbi Yosi, elba sukkah disa seihu. The mitzvah sitting in the sukkah is a mitzvah sasei. Avos Shabbos, this is kilu huloi. And as the way I saw the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, we don't know which mitzvah is more special to Hashem and which mitzvah is less special to Hashem. But one thing we do know, that we can make a determination by what punishment there is for the violation. If somebody violates and doesn't sit in a sukkah on sukkahs, or doesn't sit in a kosher sukkah on sukkahs, he was over a mitzvah sasei. There is no punishment attached for violating a mitzvah sasei. However, If somebody carries on Shabbos in a place that he wasn't supposed to carry, he could be chayv skila. So that's why when we're talking about Hilchos Shabbos, we have to be much stricter when it comes to mechitzas versus when we're talking about Hilchos Sukkah. Vim taima, but ask the Gemara, how could you say that Rabbi Yossi doesn't allow a mechitza taluya on Shabbos? Wasn't there a story, asked the Gemara? There was an incident that we're going to speak about in a moment that they relied on Shabbos on a mechitza taluya. Apimi nasa. Whose opinion were they following? Loi api Rabbi Yossi. Weren't they following Rabbi Yossi's opinion? So isn't that clearly an indication that Rabbi Yossi lies on a mechitza taluya on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, no. It wasn't Rabbi Yossi. It was El Pir Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Nase. It was Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi that did it. So the Bach makes a point. He says that the halacha is that if a Rav was the Rav of a city and he issued a psak that something is not permitted, then the Rav who is his successor cannot reverse what he says. So the question is, if Rabbi Yossi didn't want to rely on a mechitza taluya on Shabbos, how could his successor, who actually was a son, Rishmab Rabbi Yossi, rely on it? The answer, says the Bach, there's a very big difference where the first Rav said explicitly that something is asur. If the first Rav explicitly said something is asur, his successor has no right to say it's mutter. But if the first Rav didn't cite an opinion, then the second Rav could say it. So what the Gemara is saying is, it's not that Rabbi Yossi relied on a mechitza taluya on Shabbos. He never spoke about it. And since he never spoke about it, we can't say that he was lenient. But on the other hand, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi has a right to issue a lenient psak. What was the story? They forgot to bring the Sefer Torah from before Shabbos to the shul. The next day, they rolled out linen, and they brought a Sefer Torah through those mechitzas to shul. Now, the mechitzas that they were relying on were not mechitzas that came down to the floor, yet they relied on those mechitzas. So we see that a mechitza that doesn't reach the floor is an acceptable mechitza. But ask the Gemara, how were they allowed to do this? Parsu? L'chatchila mishari? Are they allowed to spread out these walls? V'hakal moidim shein oysen al roi rabbi Shabbos. We learned Masech to Shabbos that you're not allowed to make an oil kavu on Shabbos, and we're not allowed to even make an oil arai. So how ben the rabbanon? So how could they do this? Says the Gemara, ela motzu sadina prusim alamudim. They were rolled out from before Shabbos. And that's why they were able to rely on it, the Via Sefer Torah v'Karba, and they relied on this to bring the Sefer Torah. So, of course, this is the basis for a very, very important discussion. And that is, under what circumstances can we carry Sefer Torah? The Shulchan Aruch teaches us in Aruch Chaim Sim Kuf Lam Hei Sif Yud Dalet that you're not allowed to just move around a Sefer Torah. And the Ramah says that you're not even maybe move a Sefer Torah from one room to another room. I saw that the Divrei Chaim, in their world, it was very cold, and the shul didn't have proper heating. So they davened in one of a different apartment or one of the side rooms, and then they came to laning. And the Divrei Chaim did not allow them to carry the Sefer Torah. Even though it was impossible to daven to lane in that room, it was so cold, he says, I can't move a Sefer Torah. And he went in the freezing shul, and they laned in the very cold room just not to move the shul. Furthermore, I saw tshuva from the Silmas Chaim, from Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, Simen Kuf Menvov, in the Silmas Chaim, that you shouldn't even move a shul, a Sefer Torah, to the Ezra's Noshim. The Shaila he discusses is there was once two minyanim in the shul. One minyan was davening in the main shul, and another minyan was davening in the Ezra's Noshim. So the minyan that was davening in the Ezra's Noshim, it came time for them to have Kriyas HaTorah. So they wanted to bring up the Sefer Torah to the Ezra's Noshim. And the Silmas Chaim says, you're not allowed to move the Sefer Torah up to the Ezra's Nashim. We're never allowed to move a Sefer Torah. So the question is, how is our Gemara suggesting that there was no Sefer Torah in the shul, then you're allowed to move the Sefer Torah from whichever house it was in to the shul if you have proper mechitzes? The halacha is that you can't move under any circumstances. And the Taz in Sifkat Yud Beis, in Simon Kuf Lamed Hei that we're discussing, says that there are paiskim that want to suggest that if you said before, a day or two before you want to do this, that this is what my intention is, then you're allowed to do it. And Taz says, I don't understand why. Why am I allowed to move it that way? So there are certain aterim. The Ramah says that if you're moving the Sefer Torah because of an Adam Choshev, then you're allowed to do it. And he has a Gevald Geraya. The Gemara Masech the Yuma Daf Ayin Amar Aleph teaches us that after they did Kriyas HaTorah and the Azora on Yom Kippur, they would take the Sefer Torah and show it to everybody. They would move it around. Kedei Laharos Kazusa L'Rabim, to show everybody what a beautiful Sefer Torah they had. So if they're doing it for the covered of the Sefer Torah, or you're doing it for the covered at Tzibur, then, or you're doing it for a covered of a Talmud Chacham, there may be a heter. So here too, it could be that the apartment in which the Sefer Torah was kept wasn't large enough where they could daven, so they were bringing it to the Sefer Torah, they were bringing the Sefer Torah to be able to have Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, or one of those other situations. That's why we could move it. The Har Tzvi, and the Shalos HaTshuvos Har Tzvi, Or Chaim, Chelk Aleph, Simon Ayin Aleph, says a different reason why they were allowed to move the Sefer Torah. He says, if the Sefer Torah is kept in a different place than the Beis HaKnesses, where they're going to read from the Sefer Torah, because it's not safe. Let's say there's no safe in that Beis HaKnesses. And in the world that we live in, the Sefer Torah is very expensive, and we have to be concerned that somebody may take it and steal it. So there's no safe in the Beis HaKnesses. So we keep the Sefer Torah in somebody's home who has a safe where it could be properly protected. And then when we have to have Kriyas HaTorah, we bring it to shul. Since the purpose of putting it somewhere and then transporting it is only for the covered of Sefer Torah, when it's for the covered of Sefer Torah, then it's permitted to move the Sefer Torah. And that presumably is the case of what happened here in the Gemara.